Welcome to another edition of Focus on the Family. Our host is Focus President Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller. And Jim, this is going to be an upbeat, encouraging conversation.
Well, I hope so. And you know, John, it comes right from our hearts because of everything that I have a privilege to do here at Focus on the Family. The highest privilege is being a dad to my boys. And I love coming home. I look forward to it. I pull up in the driveway and I see the kids either out playing or once I hit the house and the hugs and the affirmation in every direction, it makes my day. I may have talked to the president or whoever here at Focus on the Family, but when I get home, that is the highlight of the day for me. And we're going to talk with a gentleman who has put a book together, which I think is great, 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad, author Jay Payleitner. Jay, you have done a tremendous service to us dads by putting these thoughts together. Welcome to Focus on the Family.
Jim, what a delight to be here. Thank you so much.
Jay, we don't have time, obviously, to run through all 52, and a lot of dads are, you know, we're running and we're going, 52 things, no. But when you get right down to it, what would you say of all of those, what is your favorite? What's your number one thing a dad needs to be aware of?
Need to be there. The dads, if you just do one thing, just be there.
And what does that mean?
It means that your job as a dad is to raise your kids to do great things. And you can't know what their gifts are unless you've spent enough time with them.
Jay, you talk about being there, but some of us dads may struggle. What does that mean? I'm there every day. I'm providing. I'm in the home. But what does being there mean? Maybe you can give us an illustration.
You can certainly be there by just literally being there. But I would love to challenge dads to do more than that, to go the extra mile. And my dad passed away last summer. And one of the memories that I shared during the whole funeral part was that when we were in Boy Scouts, my brother and I were in Boy Scouts, and we were doing a trip down the Fox River in a canoe. Now, Dad didn't volunteer to be on the trip, but he did come with all the other parents and drop us off and make sure that we had our life preservers on, and my brother Mark and I were in the canoe. So we're paddling, you know, maybe 20 canoes. And son of a gun, we come to the first bridge overpass, and my dad is there waving at us. Now, he didn't make a big deal. He didn't shout down. It was kind of like a subtle kind of thing. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. He probably just wanted to see if we were okay, if we were paddling okay, and had our life preservers on. And so at the next bridge, he was there again. He drove down and beat us there to the next bridge. Well, that's like, well, that's kind of weird. But yeah, we waved again, and he was at the next bridge. And then it became a game. And, hey, I wonder if Mr. Payleitner is going to be at the next bridge. Hey, and it was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. My dad was there. And I don't remember how many bridges he was on. Might have been 6 or 8 even, or more than that. But my dad went the extra mile to connect with his kids, to enter his kids' world, to be there. It would have taken maybe an hour and a half. And he was enjoying it just as much as we were. So, Dad, I'm going to challenge you to wait at the next bridge. To go the extra mile, to be there for your kids, just do a little more than the guy next to you. You know what? Do a little more than the other dad. And suddenly you can be this kind of hero to your kids. And a couple ways to do that is, one way is look to see what moms do. Moms do more than dads. For a third grade kid, moms kind of do more than dads. So look what moms are doing. Go ahead and volunteer to be a Valentine's Day party mom at your third graders. Dads do that.
That is courage.
Well, no. Again, I did that.
Good,
you know,
for
what?
You.
When your daughter has a study group down in your basement, come down with a pizza and a six-pack of Mountain Dew, whatever they're drinking these days, and enter, leave it, and just leave. You're gone. You enter their world without a fuss or muss. My dad didn't shout from those bridges. So enter their world. Do a little more. Guys, wait at the next bridge.
You know, one of the interesting things, in the early part of the book, you talk about movies, and you talk about the characters in those movies. And, you know, guys, we love action. It's so funny because jokes are made about it, you know. Shoot 'em up movie, and how our wives will say, how would you even like that movie? Whether it's Top Gun or Braveheart or, you know, where there's a lot of manly action. What did you pull from that? What are we looking at in that regard to hold up as a model?
Well, when I talk to dads, it's so clear that they don't think they're important. You know, TV.
That's true.
TV says that dads are buffoons. You've heard some of the statistics. Without a dad at home, Kids are twice as likely to drop out of school, 3 times as likely to commit suicide, 9 times as likely to be a runaway or homeless. In the movies, Hollywood is in the business. What's the business is Hollywood in?
Making movies and making money.
Making money, that's exactly right. So Hollywood has their fingers on the pulse of what's important to the viewing public, the movie-going public. And so Forrest Gump, what's that about? Forrest runs his whole life looking for something. And at the very end of the movie, Forrest has a son, little Forrest, and he says, "I'll be right here when you get back." Anyways, dads is a common theme in Hollywood, and they know what resonates with people. So statistics say dads are important. Movies say dads are important. I mean, God says dads are important.
Mm. Jay, you said something I want to highlight because it's very important. You talked about even how the movies represent this, but they're tapping this idea that there's a disconnect between particularly sons and their fathers. Mm. When I speak, I hear that. I will talk about my father, who divorced my mom when I was 5, and all the difficulty that we had in our family because of it. My dad was an alcoholic. He could never get control of that. And it ruined him. It ruined his family. Mm. It ruined his relationship with his kids. And when I speak about that, so many men come up to me with tears in their eyes saying, "I had that dad," or "my dad did this," or "why in the world are we as fathers failing in the way that we do? And what can we do to change that?"
Dads need to see our children not as a problem to be solved, but a reward from God. I love Psalm 127. Children are a burden from the Lord. No, it says children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. And think about this great image, Psalm 127. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. Think about that great image. Guys, we need to meditate on that image of having a full quiver, as many kids as you and your wife decide to have, and then pulling that arrow out of the quiver, putting it onto the bow, holding them close to your chest, sharpening that arrow just exactly the way so that they know what's good and true, and then finding a target that's just exactly right for each one of those kids, and letting them fly away from you, but they've been close enough to you, and you've sharpened them, so they're going to go the right place. So dads, how to get past the idea of not knowing your role. Your role is an archer to send your kids out into the world.
Mm, that's a beautiful picture of what we need to do. Jay, again, for the father, though, how does he connect with his kids? Out of your 52 things kids need from a dad, how does a dad look to connect with his children? Because men can be isolated. We can leave that for mom. We can distance ourselves, especially those early years of childhood. That's mom's job now. When he can throw a ball and he can do these other things, that's when we'll engage. What do you say to that dad who has a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old?
Well, you need to spend more time spying on your kids, I think.
And the kids don't like that.
Well, if you're doing it right, they don't know you're doing that. You need to know stuff about your kids that they don't know you know. You need to know stuff about your kids.
Why?
That they don't know you know. Because then you can be better prepared to buy gifts, better prepared to guide them towards their strengths. Well, let's say you were on vacation in Ohio.
Are you talking about personal experience?
Well, maybe. And you had a day to kill. Should you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland or the Football Hall of Fame in Canton?
No question, football.
Well, that's where you would go. Now, maybe you got to think, you got to put yourself in your kids' positions, and by spying on your kids, you know what they would rather do. Yes, you've had some great memories with your kids playing football or going to Denver games, but maybe your kid would rather go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You need to spy on your kids. Well, is it a good thing or bad thing to drive carpools, guys?
Drive carpools?
Drive carpools with your kids.
I'd say good and bad.
Well, it's totally a good thing, and here's how you do it. You make sure you volunteer every chance you get to drive the carpool, whether it's to church or school or sporting events, whatever it is. Kids are in the back seat, and you turn the radio on just enough they think you're listening to it. And then you perk your ears up what they're saying in the back seat. And you're going to hear, if they're in middle school or high school, you're going to hear who the good teachers are, who's dating who, who's making out with who,
where
high school, where the parties are, where the who's doing what drugs. You're going to find out from listening in the back seat to your children and their friends what's going on in their life. So that's one way to spy on your kids. Another way to spy on your kids is to, when the house is empty, if you ever get a chance, when the house is empty and no one's home, walk into your child's bedroom and don't touch anything, but just stand in the middle of it and do a 360-degree circle. And you can look what's open. You can look at what the CDs are on the shelf. You can look at what books they're reading, and you're entering their world. That's kind of what we need to do. To connect with our kids, we need to enter their world and see what's important to them.
Hmm.
And the last thought in that area would be, if you see a CD with, you know, parental advisory lyrics, don't panic. Just know about it. If you see a couple books on the shelf with, you know, on vampires or something that makes you a little uncomfortable, don't grab it off the shelf and shove it in their face and say, what's going on here? Just file that away and look for other clues. And then after you've done your 360-degree turn, looked at all the posters of the boy bands and the weird stuff on the walls, just leave without a trace, but enter your child's world. And then also invite them to enter yours.
Now, Jay, I wrote about some of this in my book, First Time Dad, and I want to take you back now. The Paylightner household has 5 kids. What advice do you have for the guy that's new to this parenting journey?
Well, there's so much stuff to know about being a dad. But for new dads, just remember these 2 things. Hold your baby and dad tucks in. And I have them repeat, hold your baby and dad tucks in. And the hold your baby thing comes from that whole idea, and you've known this, the failure to thrive, skin-to-skin contact.
Mm.
I had the privilege of producing Josh McDowell Radio for 14 years, and we went to a Russian orphanage and a room full of babies and maybe 1 or 2 nurses, and that whole failure to thrive thing is so clear that babies need to be picked up. So think about this. If not enough skin contact causes a child to wither, think about the opposite of that. A lot of contact will help a child thrive.
Mm.
So in the first year of life, a baby's learning 2 things, how to love and how to be loved.
Mm.
And holding them does that. And the second thing was dad tucks in. After the babies are about 1 year old, I say, dad, you know what? That's your job to tuck in. I think there are fathers of teenagers who feel like they can't walk into their kid's bedroom. You know like the feeling? There's
no trespassing.
A no trespassing sign, like there's this force field that they feel like they can't walk into their kid's bedroom. But if you tuck them in when they're, you know, 7 years old, then you can tuck them in when they're 8 years old. And they want you to be there when you're 7,
Oh, we
right?
tuck them in now. And they're right. 11, 9.
Well, right.
And
when they're 11, well, if you... But
we're still tucking them
in. That didn't start last year. That started all the way along.
As the kids get older, though, you talk in the book about the need to be there. The need to be present in their lives. You did something that I have struggled with, and that's coaching their little league or their flag football teams. I've done the assistant coaching thing, but with the schedule, it's just been hard. I'm sure there's lots of dads like me that it can't be predictable. I don't know if I'll be there Wednesday night for the practice because I'll be out of town. What do you say to both of those kinds of dads, the dads that work nearby and can be there Wednesday night, and dads like me that may not be able to be there Wednesday night?
Well, can I give a tough challenge out there? Is
sure.
that okay? I love coaching baseball. I've got 4 sons and a daughter, and I coached their teams when they were 9 and 10. That's such a great age because you know more than they do still when they're 9 and 10 about baseball and everything, really. But we had a little guy on the team. I don't even remember his name. But he was okay, a good athlete, and his dad could never come to the games because he worked. He traveled every week.
So he never came.
He never came.
Well, that's different.
Well, but I get it. You know, that was his that was his career. That's what he was doing. But we had a rainout that was going to be made up on a Saturday. And the little guy says, Coach Paylightner, my dad can come to the game on Saturday. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to do this dad a favor. I'm going to, you know, start the kid at shortstop. I'm going to bat him second or third in the lineup, give him a chance to show off for his dad a little bit. And I'm kind of getting excited about it myself. And the little guy comes Saturday morning, hanging his head, and says, I go, what's up, sport? And he goes, well, my dad couldn't be there.
Mm.
He had to play golf.
Mm. Mm.
That dad didn't know what he was missing. Now, I'm getting angry. The kid almost is like, whatever, that's what I expect.
Well, that's protection, though, of his little heart.
So, you know what? There's a season of life when your kids need you there.
Yeah.
So, dad, if your job is taking you away too much, and I'm not going to tell you what that is, then go to plan B.
Well, and that can be a heavy guilt trip. And what I would say, here's one thing I've tried to do as a father, is not to break a promise. So if you say you're going to be there on Saturday, be there. It's not worth it. Those people you're going to play with, business colleagues or customers, you know what? They'll get it. In fact, they'll respect
it. Yes, absolutely.
They really will. And I think, as you said, you only have your children one time, and then before long, they're gone. And so my rule of thumb is to try, and I think I do a really good job, is never break a promise.
Excellent.
Once I've made that commitment, stick to it, regardless of what's in front of you.
Let me give you another thought during that season of life is, you have some hobbies that you really like, and I won't even list those. What I'm going to say is, for a season, when your kids are that age, that grade school, middle school, even through high school, let your kids be your hobby. You know what? Coach their teams. Do the booster club thing. Lead a WANA or be a scoutmaster. What? You know what? If your four-year-old son is into dinosaurs, you be into dinosaurs. Now, at the same time, you know, and I say quit golf, I'm not recommending that. But maybe a handful of guys out there do for a season of life. Now, at the same time, if you can walk 18 holes with your daughter,
that's great.
I'm jealous of that. Sure. I'm jealous of that because then they're entering your world.
You know, Jay, in your book, 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad, number 9 caught my attention. It's a good one, and I'd like you to elaborate on it. You said in there, dad should sometimes make an illegal U-turn on the expressway and drive 30 miles back to the restaurant where your son left his Dodger cap.
Well, yeah, that's the longest
title. That's very specific.
That's the longest title in the book, yes. And, of course, it relates to a story. Alec, my oldest, he had this cruddy old blue Dodgers cap that was just worn out. And we have 100 baseball caps at home. But we were on vacation, and we were about 30 miles past our Greasy Spoon breakfast, what we had. And he said, Dad, I left my Dodgers cap at the restaurant.
The terrible one?
The terrible, horrible, beat up.
And you're thinking, good.
Finally.
Well, except for this, guys. It was important to Alec.
Yes.
So it needs to be important to me. So if there's something that's important to your kid, don't dismiss it.
Right.
Even if there's some negative implications to it, you got to figure out why it's important to them and make it important to you. And see if you can turn a negative to a positive.
Now
so we made the U-turn on the expressway and went back 30 miles. And I wasn't happy about it, but I knew it had to be done.
And I'll tell you what, though, Jay, it's hard to do that. You have to be, you almost need a trigger as a dad, because the knee-jerk reaction is say, well, you left it. I mean, that's a lesson. You got to remember to pick up your stuff when you leave a restaurant.
Yeah.
I can't be there for you the whole time. I mean, that would be a typical dad's response.
Yeah.
I could see dad doing that. I could see myself doing that.
Ask.
I haven't done that yet, but
I haven't driven
30 miles.
And I'll throw it back to you guys. When our kids mess up, should we rescue them? Interesting question.
Well, I would say it depends upon the situation. It's hard to be generic, but the answer in my mind may be no, because they need to learn certain responsibility.
Right.
Let me ask the question. Let's role play a little bit, because some dads will be there. And I just want to hear your appropriate response, your godly father response to this. The phone rings. Dad, I'm at the police station.
I love you. It'll be okay. We'll get through this together. I mean, that has to be the overarching.
So that really covers just about every scenario.
Dad, I wrecked the car.
I mean, the teenage girl who might call and say, Dad, I'm pregnant.
I love you. It'll be okay. We'll get through this together, because you don't want them going someplace else for answers, because they're going to get some bad advice. You know what's best for them in the long run. You know, because you've been invested in their life, you know what their short-term needs are. You know how this is going to derail their life. Now, if they forget their lunch in middle school the first time, go drive over and bring them their lunch. Be the hero. Rescue them.
The first time.
The second time. You know what? They're not going to starve to death in a day. But so when the question was, should we rescue our kids? Let the consequences come naturally. But yeah, you know what? If there's a question, err on the side of being more loving, more forgiving.
Grace.
Of grace. Oh my golly. Grace. Write that down, guys. Grace.
Yeah. That doesn't come naturally to a lot of men.
Well, right.
We like the rules, and you live by the rules as long as you're under my roof.
Well, then, as long as you live under my roof, then they'll move out.
Right.
Is that where you want them, out in the street?
Yes. No. But yes, to the point.
Right.
Jay, a natural follow-on to that is it ever over the top a father's engagement in their child's life? I'm sure it's age-specific, but can a dad be over-involved?
Well, there's the question of living vicariously through our kids, and that happens. That can be a little bit of a problem sometimes.
Describe that for the listener. What do you mean by that?
I can't put my dreams on my kids because we need to find out what our kids' gifts are. We need to see out what their bent is. Oh, there's that great line, you know, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go.
And when he's older, he will not depart from it.
There you go. So train up a child in the way he should go. So each kid has their own kind of gifts. And I got 5 kids. They all do 5 different things. I've got artists and writers and businessmen.
But why is it so natural for us as dads to want to live vicariously through our kids? I mean, I do sports. Sports meant the world to me. I think it gave me the structure I needed. And so I've got to really watch it. And I'm mindful of it, obviously. But, you know, I'm always talking to them about, oh, you'd make a great tight end. I'm almost like the scout going, oh, Trent, you're tall and big. Look at your wingspan. Oh, let's go out and play catch. And I've already got the coaching tips. And, you know, he said to me the other day, Dad, I won the chess tournament at school. He was so excited. I mean, it pleased me to see his excitement, but I had to be excited, which, you know, that doesn't excite me as much, but for him, it was great.
So, Dad, I won the chess tournament at school. What was the first thing you said?
That's incredible.
Okay, there you go. My junior year, I was the captain of the JV wrestling team. That's not really impressive, by the way.
No,
but I won first place in a tournament, and I came home with a little trophy about 4 inches tall, and I showed my dad. Dad, I won this first place in this wrestling tournament. Now, they were actually at most of my tournaments, but it was an all-day Saturday thing. And what did my dad say? He said, well, maybe next year you can get a varsity trophy.
Ooh.
Oh, snap. Come on, Dad. And he and I have joked about that since then. What he should have done, and here's something to remember, Dads, laugh with them, cry with them. If your son or daughter comes to you celebrating something, and that could be a chess victory, you need to celebrate with them in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my dad's motivation was absolutely right, that, yeah, next year he wants me to make varsity, and dads should challenge their kid to the next level. But in that moment, if your kid's celebrating, celebrate with them. Dad, I didn't make show choir. They're sad. So join them in that moment. Man, I hurt for you, buddy. Dad, I got rejected by this college. Oh, man, I hurt for you. Don't say, they didn't need you or you don't need it anyways. Join them in the moment. Laugh with them. Cry with them. Dad, I mastered the yo-yo. Hey, that's awesome. Show me your next trick. My dad should have said, hey, son, that's great. Tell me about the last match. I'm sorry I missed it.
You know, How'd you pin him?
Well, exactly that. Join them in that moment and laugh with them. Cry with them. I didn't make this up. It's scriptural. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep.
Hmm. Jay, what you're saying is so important. And I think what I'm hearing, and I want to make sure I'm hearing you right, dads, take the long view. That phone call that may look desperate at the moment with time will be okay. And typically, it could be the worst of the phone calls. But it's take the long view. Make sure your child feels your love and grace. Certainly the standards that you expect as a father and what you want them to be as a man, character, all those good qualities. But we've got to be able to wrap all of that in a sense of love and well-being for that child, for that teenager, for that 20-something who knows that when he's close to you or she's close to you, there's something special in this relationship. Is that fair?
That's absolutely fair, and I couldn't say it better. I love you. It'll be okay. In the long run, it might hurt now. I'm going to join you in your joy. I'm going to join you in your challenge, but we're going to get through this together. And there will be consequences, though, maybe short term, long term. But if you can rescue them at the top of the slippery slope, you know, a lot of kids are going down that slippery slope. If you can grab them at the top, do that, Dad.
It makes all the difference. Mm. Jay Payleitner, your book, 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad. What a great resource for all of us fathers. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being with us here at Focus.
Thank you. And dads, you know, keep up the good work.
There you go.
Mm.
And Jay, I think I'm always going to remember that closing thought that you offered us there. I think that's really important for us to remember as dads. Our program today was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller.
This program, which was recorded a few years ago, is one that dads everywhere need to be listening to, especially in today's world where there is an unfortunate trend towards absent fathers. I think Jay has enlightened the dads with an understanding of what it means to a child that his father is present and interested. We're hoping that this program has caused you to evaluate your role as dad and make the necessary changes as you see fit. Our resource on offer today is the book by Jay Palutner titled 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad. It combines straightforward features and challenges men will appreciate. You'll find it online at safamily.co.za, or you can give us a call on 031-716-3300 to order. With Father's Day coming up on Sunday, we want to wish all the dads a happy Father's Day. We hope we've inspired you to spend more intentional time with your children, but we also hope your kids will honor and celebrate you this Father's Day. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you to join us next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.